Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, ascended on high to rule all things that are under his feet. The word of God for our text on this ascension observed is recorded in Acts chapter 1. It is Luke's account of Jesus' ascension. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, dearly loved by God. There is a saying that history is written by the winners. The implication, of course, is that when writers write the history of something, that there may be just a little bit of embellishment. There may be a tad of self-aggrandizement or self-congratulation. I think you would agree that when you and I read secular history that has been written by sinful men, that there is a legitimate caution to be aware and to be on guard against those things. That is not, however, the case when it comes to the history of Jesus' ascension into heaven that St. Luke wrote to begin his compendium volume to his friend Theophilus to add to his first book of Luke. Oh, it's an account written by the winner, all right? It's an account written by the winner for winners, so that we will not forget that victory that we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. However, St. Luke needs no of the account because it stands on its own merit. And we know also that there is no self-congratulations or self-elevation on Luke's part, because Luke was not writing his account of what happened, but rather Luke was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit's account of the ascension of Jesus Christ. You and I are winners in Christ. We are victorious in him, and we don't want to forget that victory that he gained for us. The Son of God became the Son of Man. He took our sins. He lived our life. He suffered and he died. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead and will take us to be with him forever. All of that we see today as we celebrate the ascension. And we say then thus that Jesus' ascension is worth remembering. And it's worth remembering for three reasons. Because of his preparation for it, because of his commission on it, and because of his return from it. Jesus prepared for his ascension many years, 3 decades plus before that, by descending into the world from his throne on high in the first place. Jesus prepared to return to heaven by coming from heaven into earth, to earth. St. Paul writes to the Ephesians, what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? Jesus' preparation for his ascension began with his conception and birth in Bethlehem. It began with the Son of God becoming the Son of Man, to be born of a woman under the law, to redeem us who are under the law by keeping it perfectly. And then by paying the price of our disobedience. Jesus prepared for his ascension by being holy for us who are sinful. Do we always put our Father first in our lives? No, but Jesus did. Do we always listen to and obey and honor God's representatives that he has placed over us? No, but Jesus did. Do we always take care of our bodies and never do anything to hurt or harm them? Do we never hurt or harm our neighbor in his body by maybe hitting him or saying harmful, hurtful things to my neighbor? No, we do that, but Jesus never did. Do we sometimes love our neighbor and take care of his supposed need to find out that it wasn't a need at all and to find out that we had been taken advantage of? And have a heart completely empty of any resentment, any anger, any frustration, any wishing evil to that person? I can only speak for myself, but some sin in thought crept into my heart about that. But that never did to Jesus. Jesus loved people, and he kept loving them, and never had any thoughts about them otherwise, even when they took advantage of him. Jesus prepared for his ascension by doing all those perfect things for us so that we're forgiven when we sin in those ways and other ways that I mentioned. Luke describes that preparation, that after his suffering, he presented himself to them, to the disciples, and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. Jesus paid for all of those sins, and the Father accepted that payment and raised his Son from the dead. And Jesus showed himself often to the disciples over that period of 40 days before his ascension, gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. We have those convincing proofs in the scripture. Jesus' suffering and death testifies to the completion of the work that he descended to do. His burial is simply the result of that. And then his resurrection is the first step then in getting ready to, in his exaltation then, as God and man, to return to his throne in heaven from which he came. Jesus' ascension to heaven makes us say with Paul, thanks be to God who delivers us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Father raised Jesus from the dead in victory, His victory, and our victory. Jesus' ascension is worth remembering, first of all, because of His preparation to ascend into heaven. And that preparation was to descend, to fulfill His mission, to gain us the victory, to rule over all things in His exaltation for the sake of the church, and one day come from there, just as the apostles saw Him go, to take His church into heaven. The ascension is the good news of a successful mission by our Savior, as He promises to send the Holy Spirit so that we can carry that message to the ends of the earth. Jesus' ascension is worth remembering also because of the commission that He gives on it. Jesus' disciples were eyewitnesses of His resurrection, and they were also eyewitnesses of His ascension. Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Part of that lesson was that they were supposed to stay in Jerusalem. They were supposed to wait, and in a few days, 10 days later, God would send them His Holy Spirit as He promised. Jesus had to ascend into heaven before He could keep His promise to them to send the Holy Spirit. And so then He gave them that commission. We notice that when Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses," He didn't ask them a question. He didn't say, "Would you like to be my witnesses?" It wasn't a command. "I'm ordering you to be my witnesses." It's a promise. It's a simple statement of promise. "You will be my witnesses, like ripples in a pond. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, all the way to Carmel, Indiana." And so His ascension led to then the giving of that commission and the sending then of the Holy Spirit, who would enable them and give them the right teaching of the kingdom of God and the courage to do it. And they showed that they really needed that. "Lord, are You at this time going to establish Your kingdom? A palace in Jerusalem? A throne that You're going to sit on like King David and once again bring all the glory back to earthly Israel?" They really needed the Holy Spirit to lead them into the truth and to show them the truth of the spiritual nature of the kingdom of God. And so Jesus, when He gave them that commission, "You will be my witnesses," promised them that gift of the Spirit, taught them about the kingdom, so that when they went out, they would be able to teach and preach God's word and the truth about that kingdom of God. Jesus told them, though, in patience, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority." Jesus' ascension is worth remembering because of the commission on it. It's our commission, just like theirs. And our commission is not this. Our commission is not to help God set up an earthly kingdom where Israel is great again and Jesus sits on His throne in Jerusalem, ruling a peaceful world. Our commission is not to try and figure out the times and the dates and the ways that God will bless our work. How and when He's going to convert people. How and when He's going to give us the resources to do that. How and when the kingdom of God is going to grow or shrink a bit. Our commission is not to get out our charts and our graphs and try to figure out just exactly when Jesus Christ is going to return from the right hand of God. Our commission is to preach the gospel. Our commission is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as He teaches us, instructs us, encourages us through God's Word, to tell people about Jesus' suffering and death and why He did it to pay for our sins. And about His resurrection that declares His sacrifice sufficient, and that God has declared every sinner not guilty of sin. To tell people that Jesus Christ is going to return. And the purpose of life, their time of grace, is to know Him, to be ready for Him so that they can welcome Him when He returns. The ascension of Jesus Christ is worth remembering because of His return from it. He ascended on high, but He's going to return to this earth. God's message to the angels was this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven. Bodily, physically. Although Jesus never left us, surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. As true God and true man, Jesus physically fills all things in the universe. His flesh and blood is right here with us, even though we can't see it or touch it. He's always with us, but yet He also physically ascended into heaven. And as in the position of God's power and authority, He rules over all things for our good. But one day He will come back from there. When our loved ones go away and tell us that they are going to return, but don't tell us exactly when, don't we begin to eagerly look forward and expect their coming? But because we don't know when that is, we keep looking, but we don't just stand around not doing anything, looking for them to come. We go about our daily tasks, don't we? We go about the things that we have to do in life, waiting and watching at the same time. And that's the way it is for us in the church. We don't stand around doing nothing with our eyes looking into heaven from the top of some mountain after we sold all of our possessions because we figured out today's the day. Every day we go about our work. Loving our children, loving our spouses, loving our parents, loving each other, loving even our enemies, worshiping God, sharing the kingdom with others. We go about that commission that took place on the ascension, powered by the Spirit as we wait for that day when Jesus will return. When Jesus came the first time, He came in humility and He left in triumph. The next time He's going to come in triumph and leave in triumph. And He's going to take us with Him in triumph. Now is our humiliation as we endure the crosses and the difficulties and the burdens of living in a sinful world. But when Christ returns in that glorious triumph, visibly for all to see, we will look at Him in great joy. Joy that we could not even now begin to describe, to understand, or to experience. Jesus came to die so that He might live. Jesus will come next time to live, or in life, so that we who are dead can also live with Him again in heaven. Sadly, honestly, it's too bad that Ascension Day doesn't have the great celebratory attraction that Christmas does and Easter does. And that's why we pastors have Ascension observed on Sunday rather than on Thursday night. But it's no less important, nonetheless. Remember this from this morning. Ascension is the third great festival of the church year. It's just as important as Christmas when Christ came. It's just as important when Christ died and rose again, because he ascended in that victory, and from there he will return in that victory to gather his church. In a very real way, Jesus is the winner who has written the history of our forgiveness and our salvation. It is a history without embellishment or self-aggrandizement, because it speaks for itself. It stands on its own merit, and all the glory goes to the Father, as it should. Amen. Please stand. And now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please join me now in reviewing